Here we go. Welcome back to the roundtable. I'm Joe. Well, there's a sound you can't hear early enough on a Friday morning. Our next guest is a tough job, and I would do it in a second. John Hall travels the country chronicling the story of American beer for his website, beerbriefing.com. His latest book had him touring the Bay State. Massachusetts Breweries is a guide to the state's 46 breweries and brew pubs, types of beer brewed at each site, and the author's pick of the best beer to try. He also includes information on tours, takeout, and food for each brewery. A journalist since 96, he has written for the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. John Hall, a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Pleasure to be here. Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing beer.
Of course. It's just not an interview unless you have beer in front of you, I feel.
Beer in front of you, beer in your hand.
That's right.
When you look, let's do a state of the state here on Massachusetts when it comes to beer. It seems, in looking at the book, and I've had pretty good experience with many of the breweries in this volume, that it's a pretty good state beer-wise.
It's an excellent state beer-wise, but it's underappreciated, I think, on the national scene. There's states like Colorado, Vermont even gets a lot of play, yeah. Oregon certainly. But Massachusetts is one of these states that is continually producing great beer, but people aren't necessarily paying attention to it, which is both good for the people in the state and in the area because they have access to great beer. It's not hard to get. But also a disservice because people who are looking for good beer should be coming here because they're missing out if they're not drinking a lot of these breweries.
43 regional breweries, microbreweries, and brew pubs that
yes.
make the book. What when you look at it, how much of it comes out of sort of Boston from that influence and works its way across the state? I mean, there is a historical element to this, isn't there?
Absolutely. And it always starts with the big cities, and it always starts by water, because the heritage breweries, the first ones, needed access to good, clean water, and that was usually where the cities had popped up early
right.
on. Cities like Boston, like Newark, New Jersey, even down in Baltimore, some areas like that, Philly. It starts in the population hubs, and then it just sort of moves out from there. And we're certainly – there's no shortage of breweries in the state, and pretty much anywhere you live, you're going to be within a decent driving distance of a brewery, especially out here in this area, western Massachusetts, where even along the I-91 corridor is just a wealth of breweries, and each one just as good as or better than the next.
Let us talk with I just want to sort of start with the big guy, and that
sure.
is, of course, Sam Adams,
yep.
Which permeates a lot of, I think, the Massachusetts beer culture when people think of beer that comes from the state. How do you look at that? Because obviously it's a popular product in the state, but when you look at it as compared to some of the other beers, how does it stand up?
There's one thing to know about Sam Adams is it's for the most part, the beers that they're putting out are great gateway beers. It's bringing people from the beers that they've had forever, of the Budweisers and the Coors and stuff, and they're bringing them into the craft fold. They're having beers with more flavor, like their Boston Lager, their Cherry Wheat, some other beers like that. Most of the beer that Sam Adams does, though, is brewed in either Pennsylvania or Ohio. Which not a lot of people know. They have a great visitor center. They have a pilot brewery
yeah.
there. That's what you see on the commercials.
Yes.
It's a fun place to go. It's a great place to learn about beer. But Sam Adams overall has really raised the profile of craft beer in general. And craft is microbreweries as well. It's just the new way of calling microbreweries microbreweries.
But, and they seem to be doing this even more now. They have the Red Out. They'll do, obviously, their seasonals.
I saw something recently that they're doing about 60 different beers, and that wouldn't surprise me. And this year, they've come out with their new Utopias, which is their 30% alcohol beer. Kind of drinks like a cognac. It comes in a really beautiful brew kettle-shaped ceramic bottle. Retails for quite a bit of money. But so they're doing things that really foster the beer community overall. They're setting standards, and then in some cases they're nailing it on the mark, and then in other cases people are just surpassing them. But all of the craft breweries stand on the shoulders of early breweries like Sam Adams, like Sierra Nevada, like Anchor out in California. There's a few others as well. And it's a generational thing. Brewers these days, the younger ones, grew up drinking Sam Adams. They grew up drinking Sierra Nevada. And so now they're taking that and they're putting their own spin on it, which is another great thing about American breweries these days.
So they have an influence. Because
Strong influence.
Because
and a respected one, too.
Well, that's it's respect that I think is so interesting, because when you start talking, we do a beer show here occasionally on our Vox Pop program, and our brewers who get together have there is a stronger respect, obviously, for microbreweries, which they're a part of, but when it and regional breweries, but then when it comes to the big guys, those beers are often dismissed. But when it comes to Sam Adams,
they've done a lot for the industry, and they continue to do a lot for the industry. They've launched a Brewing the American Dream program where they're working with the company to do micro loans for small businesses. They're mentoring other breweries. If they have extra hops, they will make them available to other breweries. They're not just going to hoard them. They'll get them out there. Jim Cook, the founder, brewer, chairman of the company, is a guy who really cares deeply about the community, and it shows.
Let's talk a little bit about Berkshire County and some of the breweries around us. And when you look at it, some pretty great places.
Yeah, there's no shortage out in Western Mass and in the Berkshires. Right off the top of my head, I'd say that you have Berkshire Brewing, which is one of the gems of the American brewing culture right now, in the American brewing world right now. And Gary Bogoff and his team out there are doing such wonderful things in such a small area. If your listeners aren't aware of them, they should absolutely be seeking out anything that Berkshire Brewing does.
They do great beer. What is it? The Steel Rail?
Steel Rail Pale Ale. A colleague of mine once called it what the water in heaven ought to taste like. It's that good. And then there's other breweries like Wandering Star, which is in Pittsfield, and they're relatively new to the scene. And I know you guys did some great work with the hurricane yesterday with the fundraising. They were actually hit pretty hard by the hurricane, even being in Pittsfield. They sent a lot of their beer to New York. Their distributor was hit and flooded pretty terribly in New York City, stranding a lot of their kegs down there, which means that there's a lot of beer sitting in their fermenters out in the brewery out in Pittsfield. So if people want to drink good, fresh beer, go out to Wandering Star in Pittsfield and help them out, because a lot of their kegs are stranded right now. And it's a small business that relies on things working well, and something like this could really be devastating, and it'd be terrible to see Wandering Star take a real hit.
Yeah, I never thought of a keg being stranded.
Yeah, well, yeah. The warehouse down in Brooklyn was just hit really hard, or Queens, was hit really hard by the storm, and a lot of breweries were affected by that. But in this area in particular, Wandering Star, good people out there.
And then you go over into Northampton and the Northampton Brewery.
Love them. You know, they not only are their beers great, they have their hand in some other breweries as well. The family has really been involved in the American brewing culture for a long time now, and really brought us some great breweries in the past. They work with a local farm, so the food that you're getting there is fresh. It's local. It's supporting another local business while you're supporting a local business. Same thing with People's Pint up in Greenfield. It is one of my favorite brew pubs to stop at, just because if something's not in season, if a vegetable's not in season, you're not going to get it. So no tomatoes on your hamburger in January. And that's okay, actually. They're also one of the lowest waste producing breweries. They recycle pretty much everything. They don't use a lot of wasteful paper products like paper napkins or straws or things like that. So their carbon footprint is actually really low. And it's one of the things that makes them great.
We think when you look across the state. Oh, by the way, not to bury the lead, what are we drinking?
This is from the Element Brewing Company.
Okay.
And they're out in Western Mass as well. And this is their extra special oak.
Was that Miller's Falls? Is that what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's their take on an ESB. You're getting this chestnut color off of it. It's got this malty flavor. It's got a little bit of wood in the background. And the presentation, it's too bad people can't really see this, but comes
we
in
got a camera there.
Well, then there it is.
And there, right there.
Right so there. It's well, a, so you can see it then.
WMC.org, you can catch it.
So it comes in a champagne-like bottle, and it's a Cajun cork finish. So that's that pop that you heard early on was the beer opening up. And a lot of people think 12-ounce bottles or cans for beer, but there are other presentations available. And this is a nice thing to bring to a party as well. I think people would be interested in seeing this type of thing. Also comes wrapped in some really nice tissue paper as well, which I didn't want to crinkle on the air and
it's,
make people think it was static.
It's lovely, and it seems a little bit mellower than the average ESB. Is that true?
Yes, a little bit. It's softer, definitely. Yeah. It's a little bit more rounded. This has been aging for the better part of a year or so now, which I think kind of mellows it out a little bit, and it's really quite nice.
And seems to have like a high carbonation.
I'd say that the mouthfeel on this, the carbonation level is pretty much even keel at this point. When you're tasting beer, and it's tough to do on the radio, but you take a sip, you hold it in your mouth, and you let the carbonation dance on your tongue for a second. Mm. And if it's really prickly, then it's almost painful. But this is a little bit more rounded than
this
that.
This isn't painful, but it seems active.
It's very active. And that's, you know, also because they bottle condition this, which means that right before they cap it up, they put an extra dose of yeast in there. The yeast acts with the sugars, creates more alcohol, and also carbonation. And that's why you're getting a little bit more effervescence.
It's very good.
Thank
really
you.
Good.
Well,
good
I didn't
stuff.
Make it, but well, you know, no, I'm glad you, but, well, I'm glad you enjoyed
I'm
what
glad
I brought.
You brought it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. When you look overall in the state, I mean, you do neat things in the book because you don't necessarily.
What else do you like about me?
You let people know about your favorites.
Yes.
But you don't rank.
No, and I think that because everybody's palate is different. There are people who really enjoy aggressively hoppy beers, that bitter taste off of beers.
Yeah.
There are some people who enjoy stouts that are more coffee, chocolate notes. And it's tough for me to say, well, this is the best beer that you can have, because if you don't like IPAs and I've chosen an IPA, well, then you're not going to listen to, you know, you're not going to maybe go for it. So I want to be able to give people a choice of what's going on out there and say, well, this is what I was drinking, but you should really try everything, or you should follow your own heart and your liver and see what see what you enjoy.
You know, let's just let me ask you a question.
Sure.
So you go to a place like the Boston Beer Works.
Sure.
Right outside.
Which
of,
one?
Right outside of Fenway.
Right outside of Fenway. Yes.
And you go in there and they have
drink
I don't know,
to your
like,
sorrows after this season.
Seven, yes. Eight, nine different types of beer. But when you go into a place, I'm just using them as an example because I've been there. but you go and you sit down and you want to try different things. How do you recommend people do it?
Most places do samplers.
Yes.
So I was actually at the City Beer Hall last night here in Albany, and you can get 5-ounce taster glasses
right.
of beer. And a lot of these breweries want you to do that. So you can say, I'll have a taste of this, 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 and this. And it comes to you, and they'll usually lay it out. Boston Beer Works does it in a great way where they tell you about the flavors that you're drinking. They rank them from lightest to darkest, so you can go that way.
And it's with food, I believe.
Absolutely. And it's a great way to taste a lot of different beers and still being able to get home under your own steam, which is, again, moderation is key, very important when you're traveling. Public transport, taxis, walking.
Yeah, well, that's a great
And thing. Remembering the next day as well, because chances are if you're at one of these breweries, you're going to have some really great beer and you want to remember it the next day.
It seems the people who are into this, though, the people who, thank you very much, the people who are genuinely interested in this have a passion for the process, for the ingredients, for the breweries and what they're doing And yeah, there's the beer aspect of it, but there's also the craft element of it.
There's the craft element, and there's also the human element behind it. These businesses are small. These are small American-run independent businesses for the most part. And so when you're out there and you're helping out, say, a Wandering Star or a Berkshire Brewing Company, you get to know the people who are making your beer. They're not just in a large factory on the side of the road that you pass, if it's like an Anheuser-Busch or something like that. And that's not to knock the beer that they make, but you can have a personal relationship with the people who make your beer. It's sort of a throwback to the older days where you would know your pharmacist or you would know your butcher or you know the people in your town that the artisans in your town providing various services. So the breweries are, there's a personal connection that people can have with it. If you're drinking an Element beer and you see it on the shelf, well, you know those guys. So I'm going to pick this up and help them pay their rent this month, and I'm going to get something good out of it as well. And I think that that's a great thing. And the brewers are usually more than happy to bring people in for tours. You don't have to be a beer nerd or really into and know the difference between different varietals of hops or malts or different processes. They want to educate people. They want new people to come in all the time and drink their beer. And the breweries are excellent with tours. They're excellent with tastings. They want to encourage new people to come in. And it's unlike wine tastings and wine tours, you're actually encouraged to finish the samples and not spit it, which, again, makes it a lot more fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things...
Did I answer your question?
Yes,
I just
you
kind
did.
Of rambled for
no,
a minute.
No,
yeah.
You absolutely answered okay. my question. One of the things that I found interesting about the book, you know, we talked about Sam Adams, but and I forgot Harpoon.
Yes.
But they're becoming larger and larger.
Brewery license number one in Massachusetts for the new microbrewery age. Larger and larger. They have a second brewery up in Vermont. They keep coming out with new and exciting beers all the time. They have this 100 barrel series. It's a limited edition that they put out every couple of months or so, and each one is just really fantastic. They're experimenting with new styles. They came out with something called a white IPA not too long ago.
Which I liked.
Excellent. I couldn't get enough of it. I was drinking a case of it on Cape Cod this summer. So it's along with the Cape Cod beers, of course.
Yeah, and the Cape Cod beers are interesting.
Yeah, they're great. It's perfect for
red.
The vacation set. If you live there year round, you're getting, again, supporting a local business and you're getting good, flavorful beer. But there's something great about drinking straight from a growler, which is that half-gallon jug of beer that they pour directly from the taps at the brewery, directly from the fermenters or directly from the taps at the brewery. And you take home a half-gallon jug of beer, and you can share it with everybody. It's a wonderful thing. Cape Cod beer, it's best place to drink it is Cape Cod.
Absolutely. In the minute or so that we have left, mm-hmm. How ultimately do you see people using this book?
I think that it's a rough guide. In some cases, if you go to a brewery, you're not going to be able to sit down and maybe talk with the brewer if he's in the middle of working. So I take some of that out of it. My whole goal is people read about a brewery in the book, they feel like they know it a little bit, and then go out and explore it yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Go and experience it. We put a lot of travel information in there as well. Hotels, other attractions. You don't want to sit at a bar. I want to sit at a bar all day long, but other people don't. So there's other things to do in the area. And again, you get a better sense of the state, and you get a better sense of the area. It's a travel guide that, again, supports small local businesses, gives you the best of the area. And it's a lot of fun.
Where's the UFO? Where's that out of?
That UFO beer? That's Harpoons. That's their unfiltered offering. Yeah,
okay,
it's like a Hefeweizen kind of beer.
That's really good.
Yeah,
that raspberry is
absolutely
very good.
Yeah. Fun story about the raspberry in the book as well, so you can learn all about the raspberry UFO. I think that's in the book.
You started off again. We're just about out of time, but you started off the interview talking about how it's underappreciated. Is there one brewery in here that you think is just fantastic that may be underappreciated or just not known yet?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot. Yeah, I'd say again, Berkshire. Go check them out. You live in the area where they distribute. They only do about 90 mile radius outside of their brewery.
Yep.
So you guys are right in that sweet spot. Check them out. There's a lot of pretty much everybody in the state is doing some really good stuff. Jack's Abbey is a new one out in Framingham, eastern part of the state, and they're definitely worth checking out as well. They're, you know. And support local. I mean, that's really it. Support your local brewery. You're getting a better product. Enjoy it.
Compared to Indiana?
Right. I'm here in Massachusetts, aren't I?
Indiana's
also another underappreciated state, and their brewing culture has really grown and flourished in the last couple of years as well. They have a brewery called Sun King that if you're hearing it here first, you'll be hearing about them in the next couple of years. Those guys are pretty much unstoppable. They're canning their beer, 16-ounce cans. They just won at the Great American Beer Festival out in Denver a couple of weeks ago. They won a couple of awards, well-deserved. Indiana's blowing up a little bit, so...
Well, the book is fascinating. It's from Stackpole Books. It is Massachusetts Breweries. John Hall, thank you very much for being with us, and safe travels, and I hope you'll come back and share with us. Where's home base for you?
I'm down in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. So you're just passing through.
I'm going out to Cambridge today. I'm doing a signing at Porter Square Books in Cambridge. 7 o'clock.
Well, the next time you're in this area, please stop by.
All
the
time.
Love to have you back. Thank you. Again, Massachusetts Breweries, and it's published by Stackpole Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.